Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Get ready for Super Wildcard Weekend. For the first time ever, it's 2 days of triple headers. Super Wildcard Weekend kicks off tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be one awesome Wildcard Weekend. So much watch. I'm very much looking forward to it. Well, the Texans, though, they won't be there. Their lack of success. There have been rumors right now, guys, that Deshaun Watson could want out of Houston. The team didn't make things any better this week when they hired new GM Nick Caserio. Tuesday night after the hire, Deshaun Watson tweeted, quote, "Some things never change." And according to reports, the tweet could mean Watson is irritated that he wasn't involved in the hiring process of his team's new GM. So, Shannon, if you were the Texans, would you consider trading Watson straight up for the number one overall pick to draft Trevor Lawrence?
Hell nah. I mean, if I'm Jacksonville, I want more than that. I want Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks. Because here's the thing, Skip. Why, although Trevor Lawrence is a great prospect, I already know what Deshaun is. Deshaun right now is arguably a top five quarterback. Can you assure me within the next 3-4 years that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a top five quarterback? I can't make that assurance. I already know what Deshaun Watson is. He just led the league in passing. So, and I know what I'm going to get on a weekly basis. Rookies, I mean, he might come in and have a better year than Justin Herbert.
So you actually think Houston deserves more?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
No. Jacksonville.
Okay.
If you want him, Skip, no, if I'm, first of all, Jacksonville would never, I don't believe Houston would do this, entertain this. But if I'm Jacksonville, I'm going to try to get as much as I want, considering that I know that, you know, to hear these, Skip.
Because you know he needs out once.
Right, yeah. Right. So I will try to extract as much as I possibly can.
Okay.
Because when have you ever heard of a franchise quarterback potentially wanting out so early in their career? I've never heard this before. And you've been around the game a long, long time, and I played 14 and been around the game. I've never heard of a franchise quarterback wanting out. Now, we've seen guys before they get drafted. We saw the Elway situation. We saw Eli's situation. But once he get to a location, plays as well as this young man has. And so, like, after what? This is what, his fourth finish? I think he finished his fourth year. Mm-hmm. Said, nah, I think I might need to be moving along. Because what Deshaun is saying, hold on. Y'all just went down this road a couple years ago. Y'all got Bill O'Brien. Y'all keep going to get all these guys from New England. They don't do anything. How many limbs on that tree must haven't bared fruit, and y'all still keep going to plant them?
And worse for Deshaun, he asked for some input in each of the two hires, the GM hire and the head coach hire. And he is shut out on both.
Why he should be surprised? What did the owner say before his son took over after his dad passing? Mm-hmm. You think he got very, very different views from what his dad has?
I doubt it.
Exactly.
You're talking about Robert McNair.
Yes.
Passed at an owner's meeting a few years back. Was quoted as saying, it was reported that he said to the owners, this was within the confines mm-hmm. of the meeting, that we can't let the inmates run the, he didn't say asylum, which prison. Is a cliche. He used prison,
right.
Which seems even worse to me. We can't let the inmates run
right.
our prison,
right.
right? And he had to profusely apologize for it once it was leaked out that he said that.
And remember, they ended up having to trade the tackle because he was so upset. Ended up trading him. He traded him. And then they allowed Bill O'Brien to trade the DeAndre Hopkins. And they didn't confer for a running back.
For a running back. And then their highly respected, widely respected PR director was fired because they said she doesn't fit our culture because she was probably too helpful to a lot of media members.
Right.
So you have one thing after another happening around Deshaun that he's saying, I don't fit here. I don't belong here.
Right.
Because you people don't even allow me. He just wanted to say, why don't you interview him, whatever. Eric Bieniemy, obviously.
Right. He don't even on the list.
No, he's not on the list. He didn't even get a Zoom interview.
Skip, you remember they was talking about during the hiring process, and I spoke with Coach Dungy. He's on my podcast, Club Shay Shay. Check it out if you hadn't subscribed already. And he said, you know, they asked him, you know, to help out. Got a lot of the guys from the Fritz Pollard Alliance Committee, you know. Okay, minority, what should we be looking for? How do we go about this? Now they said, nah, we good. The owner and the Nick Caserio, I think that's how you said it.
Caserio.
Caserio. Mm-hmm. We're going to go it alone now. So basically, Skip, it was show. Okay, we got Tony Dungy. We got a couple of the black guys. Maybe get some minorities.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, Skip, and that's the problem that you have, Skip, when you try to get minorities, these owners going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to do everything for show. Oh, yes, yeah, we believe in minorities. We believe in equal this, equal that.
Okay, so I think Deshaun does want out. And I'm not so sure he is the classic fit for this franchise and its mentality.
Right.
So I would think this franchise would be intrigued by Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Is he not the hottest prospect?
Yeah.
I know, obviously, my homeboy turned into some, but he wasn't this hot a prospect
No, no, you got to go back to Andrew Luck. Skip, these guys, you got to go back to Andrew Luck. You got to go back to Peyton Manning, where you're like, okay, when he comes out, he's going to be the first pick in the draft.
So is he once a decade or?
Probably so.
You could almost go back even farther than that, right?
Mel Kiper saying the highest player he's ever graded was seven in 1983, which is John Elway.
Yeah.
So he measures quarterbacks. He's on that level. That's what he said about Peyton Manning and the study habit. This kid has it all, Skip. He's prototypical. He's 6'5", 230, 235. He can run. He's mobile, big-time arm, plenty good enough arm. So he checks all the boxes.
Okay. So I believe that long-term, Deshaun will prove to be better than Trevor Lawrence. That's just a gut feeling from watching Trevor in college.
Right.
Like him. I'll go so far as to it's hard not to love what you see.
Right.
I really love everything I've ever seen about Deshaun in college against St. Nick's defenses twice as a clutch performer on the biggest stage. And obviously, even last year, they went 4-12. He led this league in passing yards. He had a career-high 33 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions for a really bad football team.
Bad.
And Pro Football Focus has him top three, ranked him third for a bad football team. I'm sold. I know what I got. But maybe this would be the classic trade that would be great for both sides.
Right.
Because Deshaun needs a fresh start. And how can you start any fresher than with Trevor Lawrence?
No, right? Well, if he becomes available, book it. If he goes to San Francisco, he'll be an MVP within 2 years.
Who will be?
Deshaun Watson.
If Deshaun goes to San Francisco.
If he goes to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, it's over.
Okay.
It's over.
Okay, but this is a classic silver platter deal where you could start over in Houston with as marketable a young quarterback as you could find, Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Would that not be?
That would be ideal. I mean, they're both from Georgia. One went to Cartersville. One went to Gainesville.
Yeah.
So both were outstanding high school players. Both were outstanding. Went to the same college. Were great. Won a national title.
Yep.
Beat Alabama for that title. Lost a national title. One lost to LSU. The other lost to Alabama. So they had a lot of similarities. Lawrence is obviously a lot bigger. Deshaun has a very thin frame, but he's very
strong.
Durable. Ooh. Tremendous mobility, big-time arm, can make all the throws. I don't see it, Skip. That would be great. But I think the thing is that it's different than football than in basketball. More times than not, if you're the superstar player, they will consult you. They will confer with you about who they're going to hire in the NFL. Let me ask you a question, Skip. Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls. How many times you think Bill Belichick say, hey, Tommy, we think about signing this guy, or we think about doing this? How many times you think he rated by Tom?
None. Okay.
That's just the way it works in football.
Okay, I got it. There are other partnerships where the quarterback has some input. Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, they probably run things by him. Patrick Mahomes, if they do anything offensively, I'm sure.
When John Elway in his heyday, I will bet you that Mr. Bolin went to him occasionally and said, what do you think?
Yeah, but Skip, it's the relationship that Mr. B and John had was very unique. They were in business together. They had a car dealership together. It ended up Mr. B wanted to get out, and John bought him out, and, you know, he made that was very profitable. I think owners try to stay away, unless you're Daniel Snyder or Jerry Jones, but for the most part, owners keep, like, arm distance.
Okay. All I know is if Jacksonville landed Deshaun Watson, he would quickly turn them into a player.
I ain't trading within my division.
Huh? Well, why not?
Hey, nah.
Well, if you get Trevor Lawrence.
I bet you. No. Mm. Trevor Lawrence, Dexter Lawrence? No. Hell nah.
I don't know.
Mm-mm. Skip, do you realize what Deshaun Watson is? Deshaun Watson is a proven commodity. I get it. It might be a situation where Trevor Lawrence might be Bitcoin because, you know, Bitcoin at one point in time was, what, $100, $400? Now they're trading at, what, $40,000. Okay, he might be that. But I already know I got a gold bullion. I got a gold brick. And the one thing I know about gold, it might go up, but it ain't going to bottom out.
Mm.
So
they got a gold brick investment in
Deshaun.
You could invest. No, in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville?
In Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I mean, Deshaun is like, either way, Skip, guess what? There's no state taxing either. Mm. So it ain't like I'm losing out either way. If you Jacksonville, you do that deal?
Heck yes.
Houston, Texas, you do that deal.
Well, if you feel like if you feel like he doesn't fit your culture either, if you're on the outs with him,
right.
If he's just an unhappy camper and you know he's going to go forward unhappy, it's like AD with the Pelicans where it's just not going to work.
Right.
He wants out. Well, okay. Now, he wanted to go somewhere. He wanted to go to LeBron.
You know, like I said, I'm very much against James Harden. Be professional. As long as you look, you can go ask out and be professional. Just as long as he don't, you know, he can make it. I was reading John McClain, the great writer. He's been writing for Houston for
forever
mm-hmm. and a day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's nowhere they're going to trade him, but he can make it very uncomfortable because you're going to have a new coach, you're going to have a new system. Well, I see y'all come training camp.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. That's because, you know, I was reading with Jesse Tretter, the NFLPA rep
yep.
president, saying that, you know what? We show that we don't really need all the OTAs. We don't really need all these training camps and all this other stuff. We did put a pretty good product on the field. So could it be a situation where they're going to start getting away from that and you're not going to be able to get the guy as much as you like? A lot of things are going to be Zoom moving forward, Skip. Yep. But I hopefully, you know, they can get this thing worked out because Deshaun is off to a great start for his career, Skip.
He sure is. Mm-hmm.
I just worry that if Watson is tweeting that out, it must not be a good situation. Because if you're tweeting
what do you say, Skip?
Pretty frustrated.
Some things never change. Yeah, he could have kept that to himself.
Exactly. There's a lot there. We're going to have to wait and see how this one plays out.
No mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation. And as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this. Crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Last night, LeBron and the Lakers took on the Spurs, and during the national anthem, both teams locked arms at center court. Before the game, though, Spurs coach Greg Popovich shared what he saw in Washington on Wednesday. Take a listen.
There can't be a better obvious example of a system that is not fair as far as justice and equal rights are concerned and protection of citizens. It was just right in your face. And anybody that can ignore that is a shameful individual, in my opinion. It's hard to deny that.
Shannon, what is your reaction to what he said?
I agree. Because, Skip, normally what do we, and Popovich said, is that when he says about these black men, unarmed black men and women being killed, the white counterparts would always say, but he was breaking the law. They were breaking the law. If you had obeyed what the officer said, you wouldn't be dead. You see, and Pop was like, hold on, wait a minute. It was on full display. They had no right to be there. The police had immediately told them to stop. Well, some of them did. And then they ended up opening the barricades. Now, we saw when the Black Lives Matter was going on in late May all the way up into October, we saw them every line, police on every step of the Capitol building, making sure y'all ain't coming up in here. Y'all protest all you want up and down the street, but you ain't coming up in here. The man said a month ago, come here and I need you to fight. I need you to be rowdy. And don't nobody, they go, well, I wonder how we missed it. How you miss it? You monitor everybody else's call, Skip. Mm-hmm. You know when somebody else about to do something crazy. You snuff out things, but this was you know who. And what he took umbrage to also is the enablers. What do we say, Skip? A lot of Antonio Brown's problems came from people around him that wouldn't tell him that he was doing wrong. You right, AB, yeah, man, you don't need that. The very people. You see what's happening, Skip? A lot of these senators, guess what they're going to do in 2024? Now, they find out early on President Trump's base is their base. And if we take those people off, they won't vote for us. So we got to co-sign, even though they know he dead wrong. We got to co-sign it because we don't want to take them off because we going to want them. So in the short term, I'm going to get a short-term gratification if I can win the presidency, even though I might do long-term and lasting damage to our democracy. I'm willing to forego that just to co-sign with him. Ted Cruz, after all that man called you lying, called your wife ugly, said all these things, Josh Hawley, for you to do that, but it doesn't matter. And that's what he's saying. He said, man, we saw this on full display. Sometimes, and for Pop gets it. Pop's in the military. Pop gets it. And he says, for anybody that don't see now, Skip, there's a saying that says, which is worse, a man that can't read or a man that chooses not to read?
Yep.
What we're seeing now, Skip, is people choosing not to. They see it, but they choosing not to see. So you're the blindest, not the man that can't see. It's the man that chooses not to see. Man, Greg Popovich, I could play for Pop. If I was a hooper, I wouldn't play for Pop. Because he's going to give it to me real, Skip. If I'm messing up, he's going to tell me I'm messing up. If I'm doing good, he's going to tell me I'm doing good. If he sees some things that I need to do better, he's going to tell me that too. He ain't going to sugarcoat it. That's all I ever ask for. A man to keep me, that's how my grandpa, be 100 with me.
You should have a conversation with Kawhi Leonard about that. he might tell you differently.
Well, everybody can't handle that, though, Skip. Everybody ain't cut. To get it, to get it truthfully. But when you grow up like that, and probably when you're in the military, Skip, they tell you that they, you know, it's got, you got to do it this, because people's lives are at stake. You know what I'm saying? You can't, well, you know, maybe get up at 6:15 when you're supposed to be up at 6. Or maybe, you know, go this way when you should have gone that way. You can't do it like that. Mm-hmm. So Pop is going to give it, that's his the military style that's in it.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously I've been a Spurs fan since George Gervin days, Iceman.
Sit on the blocks of ice in that poster with the legs crossed.
That was special. So, 2016, we just started the show. That man got elected.
Mm-hmm.
You were pretty out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out of their minds. And this man, Greg Popovich, went completely over the edge about it. And I cringed over it because I was always taught coming up in this business that head coaches of franchises had to sort of represent the masses who follow the team.
Right.
So you have to be above talking it, taking a side in politics or religion or anything other than basketball.
Correct.
Because you have advertisers who are going to get squeamish if you start taking sides because you are the voice of the whole franchise.
Correct.
And when he took these scathing stands against the new president, Trump, I was like, wow. I wonder if ownership or the GMRC Buford are pulling him aside saying, Pop, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go that far. And I'll be honest, I always tell you, I don't follow politics like you did. I did not vote in 2016 or this past time for Donald Trump, but I try to be a good American.
Right.
And once he got elected, I said, okay, I know where the blind spots are. I know where the trouble is going to be, but I'm going to try to give this man a shot here, and maybe he'll have some good to him, and maybe it'll be the economy or whatever you want to say that he'll have some strengths in, and we'll stay together because somehow he did get elected the first time. And I guess it was legal, right?
Yeah. No, it was rigged.
Okay,
that
was
rigged.
Maybe that was rigged.
Exactly.
Okay. So here comes Pop, and Steve Kerr also, but nobody was as scathing as this man was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say, after all that has transpired, he was right.
Yeah.
He was one of the few who saw it coming from the start and tried to head it off at the pass using the power bestowed upon him in his position as the head coach of a dynastic team. I don't know if you want to go so far as they've been a dynasty, but I think
I would consider them a dynasty.
Okay. I know it's spread over a long time and it didn't happen every year.
Right.
But over time, it's dynastic.
Yes.
And he was a reason for the dynasty.
Yeah.
And he was utilizing his power the way no head coach ever has. He became, if I might, he became the LeBron of coaches.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yes.
And again, he's a white man, and that made it even more powerful that a white man was going after a white president.
Well, Skip, you remember John Thompson was always outspoken.
Okay.
But we expected that from him.
I got it.
But not a white man openly and blatantly critical of a white president.
Thank you very much. And one with a military background.
Correct.
Was key to this.
It
was essential to understand.
Right.
But I know we just saw a brief clip of what he said, but he tripled down his comments last night about Trump.
Yeah.
He's incapable. He's incompetent. While that was going on at our Capitol, 4,000 other citizens died due to the pandemic yesterday.
Right.
So he's just, he is blasting away. And he says, Donald Trump loved those people hitting the Capitol because that's what he cares about. That they were, what did Donald Trump call them in that message he posted? They're very special.
Special, right.
Well, he put them up to it.
Mm-hmm.
He greased the skids for them to get through the doors walking without weapons, unarmed. And don't you think he kicked back in the Oval Office and thought it was great theater?
Skip, he loves cheering. He loves adulation.
Yeah.
You praise him, and then you can get everything you want of him. You tell him how great he is. You could possibly get a pardon. You can possibly get appointed to a political role. So you can get that, Skip. The way I look at it like this, some people like the power and what it... And, they say money and power doesn't change you. It makes you more of what you already are.
Mm.
And there are a lot of people that, Skip, that crave that power and they'll do anything to get it. And some people like, well, you look at what he done with the economy. Well, Skip, peanut butter or jelly doesn't do you any good if you don't got anything to put it on.
I agree.
So everybody keep talking about the economy. Well, how much money did you have in the economy? How much money are you invested in the stock? And do you have property and things of that nature?
Mm.
So you keep, because you keep parroting what people saying.
Yep.
For me, okay, yeah, I'm in the market.
Yep.
But I would rather do okay or so-so and sure. have my people
Absolutely.
Uplifted.
Absolutely.
Than to make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I got it. So Pop goes on, he says of Trump, it's sad because he's deranged and really flawed, but he's also dangerous.
Yes.
That was the point. He's still in there for, what are we up down to now, 12 more days?
Yes.
Okay, and then I love this point. I hate to get so political, but that's just what's happening right now right. in our country. But he blasted all the Republican senators who supported Trump's obviously unfounded claims of election fraud.
Right.
And he said, they're worse than Trump because they're not sick. They're not deeply flawed. Mr. Trump is not a well man, but these people are sane, but their self-interest and their greed and their lust for power outweighs their love of the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is deep, scathing, bingo commentary.
Yeah.
It's just right. It's right on the mark. And it came from a white head coach of a dynastic franchise.
I'm not so sure, Skip. If we didn't get this man out of office this term, he might have been in office for another 10, 15 years. Because you see where it was heading. Because Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn and Lindsey Graham and all these guys that mm-hmm. he mentioned, Ted Cruz, yep. Rand Paul, mm-hmm. Josh Hawley, yep. they were not. Because they love that power, Skip. They love being in the position. So yep. I don't know if we were going to be able to get him out. They keep all the cards. I can't believe it took that. It didn't take Charlottesville. It didn't take the phone call to Georgia. Yep. It didn't take the phone call to Zelensky in Ukraine yep. and Russia. That didn't do it, Skip.
Yep.
It was when people look like them mm-hmm. put their risk at life. You see what I'm saying, Skip?
There you go.
It was when people that look like them put their lives at risk. Oh, that's where I draw the line now.
Yep.
I don't care what you do to any other minority. I don't care if minorities don't have equal rights and equal protection. It's now when you put my life, because they were banging on your door. Remember, Skip, what I told you? They'll come get you sooner or later.
Yep.
You keep sending them out there. And when there's no more food to get, mm-hmm. guess where they come to get it from?
Mm.
You. They were coming to get their pounds of flesh. Because now all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham, they were in their crosshairs because they weren't backing up the unsubstantiated claim that President Trump had laid out there.
Mm-hmm.
So now they want to have a conversation with you. And now you ladies lie, oh, this is too far.
So as I complimented LeBron on summing it up with something positive, wrapping at least a little bit of a positive bow on it, so did Pop last night because he said, I felt really good when I listened to President-elect Biden today. I started to feel we have a country that is fair and we have some good things ahead. Thank you for that.
February, March, April. All right.
Okay.
Skip, I'm getting to April 20th. I need some stimulus checks. Although I don't get one, I don't need one. I want to see minimum wage. I need to see some things. I need to see that commitment. Not a promise, because like my grandfather used to say, boy, promises are like pie crust. They mm-hmm. thin and easily broken.
Yeah.
I need a commitment. I need you to put a ring on that. You said in the first 100 days of things that you're going to do, you got both. Skip, he got both houses. And all you need is a simple majority. Come on with it.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Tomorrow on Fox, Russell Wilson leads the Seahawks against Aaron Donald. And the Rams lights out defense. It's all part of Super Wildcard Weekend tomorrow at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Lamar Jackson has come up short with two early playoff exits in his young career. He'll get a chance for redemption, though, when he takes on the Titans, who bounced the Ravens from the playoffs last season. With an 0-2 record in the postseason, Lamar told reporters, quote, I'm definitely trying to erase that narrative. That's number one on my mind for sure. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is now joining us. Mike, great to have you. I want to start with you here. Michael, how much pressure is on Lamar to beat this Titans team?
It's pressure on Lamar, just like it's pressure on every other quarterback that's going to be participating in this postseason. But the fact that the Tennessee Titans beat him last year and then Lamar couldn't advance his rookie year in the playoffs, it gives this game more significant meaning. But I can't see the Tennessee Titans beating Lamar Jackson the third time, and I can't see that. I think Lamar's wide different. I like the way he finished the season. And he finished on a high note, and that's something to feel good about. If it's pressure on anybody, it's pressure on the defense. It's pressure on the defense to go out and stop Derrick Henry and that rushing attack and make Ryan Tannehill beat them through the air. But, you know, Lamar, he's going to have plenty of opportunities. If it don't work out this weekend, he'll have plenty of opportunities moving forward in his career to compete postseason, the opportunity to win a championship. You know, he already got the MVP, so it's just – more that he has to add to his resume, but time is on his side. So if I'm Lamar, I won't put any extra pressure on myself going into this weekend. It's about the team. It's about everybody collectively finding a way to do their job and get out of the stadium with a win.
Well, what happens, Mike, there's a little bit added pressure. I remember when Peyton Manning was winning MVPs and was getting knocked out in the first round. And people were like, well, at first they gave him a break. It's like, well, you know, he's a young player. And it's gonna, and after a while, it started happening with greater regularity. They're like, is he choking? Is he normally going to be known as a great regular season quarterback with no postseason success? And I think Lamar understands is that when you've had the success that he had, especially last year, and as I agree with you, they're playing extremely well. And I like the fact that they had to play down the stretch because remember last year they had everything locked up and they started taking their foot off the gas. And then the last game they didn't play. And then they had the bye week. And then they ended up going like 3 weeks and Lamar was a little rusty. I believe that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will win this game. But you said something interesting. They need to stop Derrick Henry. That's why you go out and get a Calais Campbell. That's why you go out and get a Derek Wolf. You have two guys, number one corners on the outside. You have Peters and you have Marlon Humphrey. Now, A.J. Brown is a monster. He's tremendous run after the catch.
Yeah.
He's a big, big physical receiver. Corey Davis was a top five, if I'm not mistaken, a top five pick, Skip. Jonnu Smith is a problem.
He is.
So don't just think you're going to load up the box. Stop Derrick Henry and everything's going to be okay. Because Ryan Tannehill have a hell of a season.
Mm.
Now, Tennessee's defense leaves a lot to be desired. They're not very good. That's why I believe it's going to be a high-scoring game, Skip. I believe this game is going to be in the 30s. And it's going to probably be decided, obviously, turnovers are weighted more heavily come playoff times because it swings the momentum so much more than the regular season. But Lamar needs to play one of his better games. And what I've seen over the last month of the season, he's playing as any good as any quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe only Josh Allen is playing better than the AFC. The last month of the season.
Well, wait, there was that guy. What's that guy's name? Brady? That guy?
No, I'm saying I'm talking about the AFC.
I'm talking about the AFC.
No. Well, overall, ain't nobody playing better than that guy up in Green Bay.
Mm.
Ain't nobody playing better than him.
I'll save that for another day. Okay, Michael, let me ask. I know you've been something of a big brother, a mentor to Lamar. Have you been able to stay in touch with him at all? Have you spoken to him recently at all?
No, I haven't. I usually let guys just do their thing throughout the season. A couple of direct messages on Instagram, but that's about it.
Good. I thought of you when I read some remarks that Lamar made a couple of days back because it sounded like what you would tell him to think and say because Lamar said, this time I'm going to try not to make things happen right away. Mm-hmm. He said, take your time because I feel like that's where I've gone wrong. Sometimes I tried to do too much too soon.
Yes.
Well, obviously you can't force the issue in a playoff game, as you well know. you do have to let the game settle.
Right.
And come to you and slowly but surely you will prevail because you're that good.
Right.
And you can't just go out and say, I'm going to win this playoff game on the first play of the game.
Right.
Because bad things will start to happen.
And then you start to press, which you started to do last year,
okay,
and take unnecessary risk. And
he did. And I do give him a break for last year because they took effectively 3 weeks off. Mm-hmm. And he's a young quarterback, and he had won the MVP. So he thinks, I got to live up to the MVP.
Right.
But wait, I'm rusty. And he said he got out there and felt sluggish that, wasn't it, a Saturday night, right? And he
said,
my twitches weren't quick. Well, he didn't look like himself.
No.
And so what have we seen happen too much too soon. He's still a young, this is a third year quarterback. Okay. But he had the two sort of scary bad playoff performances at home. Mm-hmm. And then this year, he lost to Kansas City and Pittsburgh, and he did not play well in those two games fairly early this year before they had their COVID issues, and then they took off.
Right. Because he lost like two or three games, because I think they lost to Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and then Tennessee beat him in overtime.
Tennessee beat him in overtime. I thought Lamar played pretty well in that game, but in those four I mentioned, the two playoffs in Kansas City and Pittsburgh, he was seven touchdowns to five interceptions and five lost fumbles in those four games.
Right.
Well, that won't work.
Anybody like that.
Okay, so here he goes, and this is made for him to me because you have a chance to sort of right the wrong of last year, but you get to go away from Baltimore. You go to Tennessee and do it. I just like their chances, and I like the way they're playing, and I like his mindset, and I like his mentality. I still believe in him, and I do. I'll give you higher scoring because, hey, Tannehill, I've never been a fan, but he's been...
he's off the charts
crazy.
Now.
He's on fire. The throw he made against Houston the other day to A.J. Brown was what?
And Skip, that Mack truck they got in the backfield, I don't know how he does it. Oh. I mean, it's 200, and he ain't getting no 120 yards. Like, oh, he had a great... Skip, he going for two bills. He going for the 190s, 180s.
Well, you told
that's
me.
Why I say,
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
That's why I say it's more pressure on the defense, I feel, than anything. If they can keep Derrick Henry contained, then that's more opportunity for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, for Lamar Jackson to reiterate some of the things, you know, in the media that he's been saying all year as far as, you know, getting to the postseason, taking it serious, and hopefully some good things coming out of it. You know, I think he's ready to take the next step. And, you know, it's an opportunity that you know, in year three, he won't forget. And I can relate to everything that this man is going through. Every time I watch him play, any scenario, whether we on TV talking about him, you know, failing in the passing game or not passing the ball efficiently, you know, I see and I spoke on him changing his game and going back to the things that makes Lamar Jackson special. And, you know, I don't have to talk to him. I can talk through him through a bunch of different sources and avenues. And he listens. He's a smart kid. So I think as he goes through this process and into this weekend, he's going to go into this weekend with the utmost confidence. And I think they beat the Tennessee Titans, and I think it's going to be convincingly. And it's going to be because of Lamar and the way he's going to be so versatile in this game.
Both teams will want to possess the football. Because both teams can do what, Skip? Run the football and hold the ball for 40 minutes.
Hey, seriously, as great as Derek, as great a force as Derrick Henry is, you don't think this other team, they're the best rushing attack in football.
By far.
Hey, this is the only thing that I hope that's not happening with this situation is I look at it and I'm watching these clips. I had to face the great Jim Johnson, you know, two out of the 3 years that I made the playoffs. And if it wasn't for Jim, I would have rings on my finger, but Jim just had my number. That could be the case, too. Sometimes you just face a team who know how to play you, and then the psyche and everything plays a part of it. So it's a lot of variables and a lot of factors that need to be overcome in this game, especially by Lamar. Starting with him, back to the original question, Jenny, is it more pressure on Lamar than anybody else? You know, in closing, yeah, it's a lot of pressure on Lamar. So, you know, if this team has his number, it's going to be evident this week. But I hope this is not a situation where he's always derailed like I was by the great Jim Johnson.
I don't think Tennessee's defense is that good. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, Skip. They can't rush the pass.
It's often been horrible.
Yes. Yeah. They've been really. Yeah. This might be as good a chance as Lamar going to have. This is a favorable matchup because they can't pressure the quarterback. And like I said, I believe that because he had to play, they had something to play for. They were not able to take their foot off the gas. And Lamar got better at throwing. Lamar is all about timing. And so his timing should be impeccable heading into these playoffs. I'm expecting a great game from him running and passing the football. But they're going to run the football. Both teams want to possess it because the other team doesn't want the other team's offense, don't want the opponent's offense on the field.
And real quick, the Jim Johnson that Michael's referring to is not Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys and Dolphins coach. It's Jim Johnson, the defensive coordinator, who is all-time great for the Eagles.
Yes.
And Michael was then obviously in Atlanta. And was it the NFC Championship game Philly?
It was the NFC Championship game, and it was the 2002 divisional playoffs. I'm sorry, America, I didn't clarify that. But, Skip, thanks for that.
Well, and it was a cold day in Philly, right?
Yep.
And it was a long day for Michael Vick, as I recall.
Yeah, you know, I really thought that that was going to be the game that catapulted us to the Super Bowl. And I was excited about that. And I remember walking away from that game feeling like, man, you know, I thought about all the wrongs and the rights, and the more wrongs than right, obviously, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, I told Jim Johnson after the game, if it wasn't him out there, then I'd be advancing. But congratulations. Yep. So it was a great moment, and it's a moment I never forget. And, you know, hopefully this is not the case for Lamar. But like you said, Shannon, I don't think Tennessee's defense is as good as they was a year ago.
No mercy.
Tom Brady and the Bucs find themselves as the second biggest favorites this weekend, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. It's Brady's first postseason run with Tampa after reeling off 4 wins to end the season. It'll be the first time in his career Brady is on the road for a wild card game, and his first obstacle will be Chase Young, Washington's strong D-line, Saturday night. Michael Vick is still with us. So, Mike, how much of a problem will the Washington pass rush be for Tom Brady?
It's going to be a problem. I mean, it's going to be a serious problem. I think back to some of the games that the Bucs played this year, particularly the game against the Chicago Bears when they had a furious pass rush and they was healthy. You know, they got at Tom, and it was at various times throughout the season where I felt like teams was able to get Tom, touch him, get him off his spot, and make him uncomfortable. And this is what the Washington football team is going to do. You know, Chase Young is going to be relentless. If he said it, he meant it, I feel like. And he's going to be coming for Tom. I used to have guys sack me all the time. And, you know, it was, I sacked Mike Vick. You know, and they was excited about that. So, you know, they're going to be elated to try to get at Tom Brady. And if they get to him, they're going to want to get to him again. So everybody's going to feed off that momentum. And everybody's going to feed off Chase Young, his comments and what he said, and feel like they got to back him up. So that's going to make it even worse. You know, I feel like Tom can handle it. The last 3 weeks of the season, they protected Tom. I thought Tom moved around in the pocket well. I thought he was able to stay upright and find his targets. And that's what's going to have to be on display. They're going to have to, you know, protect Tom to the best of their abilities and get whatever they can get out of the passing game. But unfortunately, when you got to watch a defensive front all week, you know, like a ravenous front that the football team has, you know, just for your mental in the game, it can throw you off. And you can see ghosts. You can feel guys around you who's not really there. You iron Chase Young, you're looking for him. And it becomes a distraction. But this is not Tom's first rodeo, you know, going against a strong defensive front. It's just now he has to face it at 43 years old, and I don't know how that's going to go.
When I look at this, let me ask you a question, Mike. Do you believe the football team can get to 20 points? Because all the teams that beat him this year, they all got to 20-plus. You look at Kansas City. You look at the Rams. You look at New Orleans. You look at Chicago. Can they get to that? You see, I don't believe the Tampa Bay defense has to get out of character. It was just like if somebody was facing you and they know you got an injured ankle. Well, Mike is not as mobile as he was. We got to come get him. Well, you basically got a man with one leg back there. Let's be all the way weird. Alex Smith cannot get out of harm's way. We watched Sunday night. We saw Sunday night. And that was with the Eagles had taken out the best player in Fletcher Cox defensively. Barnett didn't play. So they had and deactivated a lot of other guys.
Yeah.
The one thing that Tampa can do, they can score points and they can put pressure on your quarterback. Now, if you can lock it up, you can take advantage of their back end, because I don't think the secondary, and I've been saying that, I don't think the secondary is very good. But I just don't see how. With a guy in Hinkie with limited experience and Alex Smith that's basically back there, basically on one leg, I just don't see how they get enough points. Because even with the most vaunted defense, you keep trotting them out there after three and out, three and out, three and out, and you watch what happens.
Discouraged.
Timeout. So just for Michael's edification, earlier in the show, Shannon told me that Tom Brady and company are going to win this game 31-10 in a blowout. Mm-hmm. Yet, Michael, Shannon has preached to me for years, Brady's kryptonite is if you can get to him consistently with only 4 rushers.
Yes.
Well, obviously, we saw that back at the first Eli Super Bowl, Michael Strahan and company, 4 rushers got to him all game long, and he had a long, hard day in that game. And then Von Miller and company, it was just really Von by himself, but he got to him all day long, right? And then this year, twice New Orleans. Obviously, as you talked about, the Thursday night game against Khalil Mack and company, and then the Rams. And Brady had long games. And so I reversed the question to Shannon. How's Brady going to get to 20 points?
Because I think the thing is because he'll get enough possessions. Because the more possessions, because, Skip, it's not like Washington has the type of offense. If you were playing Baltimore, they can possess the ball. You're playing tennis, you're playing teams that can possess the ball. Washington can't possess the football.
They can run it. I don't know if they can run it against this team.
I think, you know, with Washington, you know, all good things on the defense. You look at Alex Smith, he's still kind of banged up, and we don't know how that situation is going to play out. If Alex not out there, then they're going with a backup, and you're not going to get the offensive production that you're looking for unless a miracle happens. I think Tom is going to come out firing on all cylinders. I feel like this is going to be the game where they put it all together and make a statement, and then we're going to be talking about them next week, like, is this team really for real? And this is the time for them to step up. You know, I don't know how many points they're going to score. I know it should be somewhere in 20 to 20-plus range, because the Washington football team, they're going to give up a lot of possessions. There's going to be a lot of three and outs. I think the Tampa Bay defense is going to play well, and Tom's going to have more opportunities than not. So, you know, put it all together, I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to come out of this one on top, and I like them to win big.
Do you really? But you did say the pass rush is going to be a problem.
Yeah, early. I think they're going to overcome that, Skip. I think it's going to show up in spots. And we talked about this before. You take that best pass rusher, you take him out the game, and you take him out of the way, you put an extra guy on him. You let the back, you know, chip on him a little bit. And it's ways to get him out of there. And I know Bruce is going to game plan for that. Tom's going to game plan. Brian's going to be all over it. That's the only way you occupy that situation. And then you challenge the rest of the guys to go one-on-one with Montez Sweat and company. Mm. So it's going to be an even matchup, and the ball is going to come out quick, I promise you. Also, they can't forget about their run game.
Skip, think about this. When you look at the Saints, what did they do? They got pressure. Brady went three and out. They scored. You look at Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They got pressure on Brady early. They went three and out. They scored.
Even Jared Goff scored.
Yes. Okay. Do you believe Washington has that type of offense that can do what?
They have two serious weapons. Terry McLaurin can fly. And Logan Thomas has turned into a force at tight end at about, I think he's 6'6".
Yeah, he's big. Okay. Yeah, he's big.
All right, and then, Michael, back to you. How good is Chase Young? What do you see? You put him in perspective.
Chase Young reminds me of Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
And that's probably what Ron Rivera see when you watch him. I know when I watch him and the way he comes off the ball, the way he uses his hands, the tenacity, the way he makes everybody around him better, and his speed and mobility, he reminds me of Julius Peppers. That's him all over again, the size, the strength. And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with for a long time. I'm just glad I'm not playing in this era and I played against Julius, even though I couldn't get away from Julius. He was the man. You know, if I couldn't get away from him, imagine what guys are going to have to go through in the future, you know, trying to get away from Chase Young. So, you know, he's the Julius Peppers prototype.
Okay, so let me sum this up by saying I have a queasy feeling about this game, being a Brady supporter, because there are certain things in football that are just meant to be stories. They're feel-good meant to be. This has got Cinderella written all over because Alex Smith is playing on a leg he almost lost to 17 surgeries. Ron Rivera is coaching after going through, what did you say?
Eight weeks
of chemo in the middle of the football season. They just changed their name recently from that name that we all used to say to Washington football team, and it feels like meant to be Cinderella kind of momentum. Well, sometimes that's just the formula for a home upset.
Yeah, but after Saturday game, that WF is going to be what it means on social media.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be WFT.
No, all right. You know what I'm saying? The other way around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Skip, what? I'm just saying, if Washington's offense was consistently put up 24 points, I was like, okay, Skip, you know, they can possess the ball well enough. They get Brady three and out, and maybe get jump on them, get 10, get a 14 point. But I just don't see. I don't see the firepower, what you see with Kansas City, what you see with New Orleans, what you see with the Rams.
No, obviously not. But I see close, low scoring. I hope you both are dead right.
No, I got
20-17 Brady, and then we get Brady at Rodgers, and here we go.
Okay. And here we go. Mike, we appreciate your time. And I love the confidence from Chase Young, guys. He loves it. We got that Ohio State-Michigan rivalry thing going on there, too.
No mercy.